marry the right person, this one decision will determine 90% of your happiness or misery.
Five, 7, 2, 7, The Chef in the End, Part 1.
Welcome to Brothers of the Word, because, brother, you need the Word. And today, we're going to be using as our central scripture for the next few messages in this series from the book of Isaiah, the 46th chapter, beginning at the 9th verse. And it reads, "Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." And I want to focus on this entire series on the first half of Isaiah 46:10. Where God says, declaring the end from the beginning. In the series entitled, The Chef in the End. The Chef in the End. When we begin thinking about our lives, and when we begin from the end to the beginning, it'll change the way we act. And it'll change the way we think. Julius, if you come up and just grab this, I want you to pull this tape measure. For those of you who are just listening audio only, this is a very long tape measure. And the tape measure is being reeled all the way back from the front of the church, all the way wrapping around the pulpit. And I am going to stop this tape measure when it gets exactly to 80 feet. And I use 80 feet because this 80 feet represents the average lifespan of the average person in America. The average person lives about 78 to 80 years old. So this 80 feet that you see stretching all the way from the back, all the way wrapping around the pulpit and ending right here, this 80 feet, it represents 80 years of average lifespan. Where basically each foot about this long represents 1 year. And there are 12 inches in a foot, so each inch represents 1 month. And if you can imagine, each 2 days is represented by approximately the thickness of a dime, a 10-cent piece. That on this long 80 feet, the thickness of a dime would represent about 2 days. And I preached a sermon years ago dealing with basically the difference between your economic level and the span of time in which you thought. If you are extremely poor, homeless, you have a tendency to think of a span of a day. I got to get into shelter tonight. I got to collect some money so I can get into shelter tonight. And I got to have this money by 8 o'clock because the shelter closes at 8 o'clock. So the more economically stressed you are, the shorter the time frame. And if you're on the verge or homeless, you tend to think in terms of 1 day. Many of the people in America, they think in terms of 1 week. Paycheck to paycheck. And not only do they need the paycheck on Friday, they need to check by a certain time on Friday. So there's a paycheck to paycheck situation. Nothing particularly wrong with paycheck to paycheck, because it's good to have a paycheck. But if you're paycheck to paycheck, it means that at the end of Friday, come Saturday, it's like the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness, the manna only lasted them 1 day. At the end of the next day, if they tried to store it up, it would have worms in it. So they could only make it day by day by day by day. So the second level is when you are weak to week to week to week, Friday to Friday to Friday to Friday. And often our economics is in that situation. Even we live for Friday. Thank God it's Friday. You know the song, Living for the Weekend? That's all people live for, just live for Friday. They work all week just to live and to have a good time, to go out and just get blasted on Friday. That's all they live for, is just Friday. So if you live for Friday, and if you look on this tape measure, that's basically 1 week, which is not very, it's about this much on this tape measure, on this long lifespan of tape measure. Yet when you move to the next level, you move a little bit to where you're slightly in the middle to upper middle, and you think on a monthly basis. I got to meet my rent for the month, my car note for the month. So they think in terms of a month by month by month basis. And you move up a little bit higher and they think in terms of a year by year by year basis. But when you move to the super rich, they don't think by the day. They don't think by the week. They don't think by the month. They don't even think by the year. They think by the multi-generations. And I want to open up some things to you so you begin to think like God thinks. And he says, I know the end from the beginning. Not just this little bitty span of time. I know the end from the beginning. So everything that you do and every action that you take, I want you to look at this tape measure, this lifeline, this lifespan, and think of the things that I do. The closer that you get to the divine, the longer your thought pattern will be on this lifeline. And I have on a red chef hat. And the red symbolizes the blood of Jesus. Because even though there is the level that thinks beyond this life, even the super rich, they only think multi-generation. But when you got the blood of Jesus, you don't even think multi-generation, you think eternity. And that's a whole different level of thought. So what am I doing now? What will I do today? Actually, it's the third part of this series. The CHEF stands for this. CHEF is spelled C-H-E-F. And it stands for children, health, eternity, and finance. And these are the four areas that God gave me to deal with. And he said, I want you to talk about children first. Didn't give me to order other things, so I had to see H-E-F. So I said, that only spells chef. So that makes it easy for you to remember with those four things. So we're starting today just dealing with children on this lifeline and to be able to see the end from the beginning. Now, Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning, but a few chapters prior to that, in Isaiah 41:4, the Lord says, who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last, I am he. Children, the product of relationships. Now, when God says to even think of children, I first wonder, Lord, why didn't you say marriage and relationships and all? He said, because children encompasses it all. And let me tell you how that works. My mother told me this years ago, long before I was married. I was a young, single man, had everything in the world going on, just like I do right now. And my mother was always steeped in the Word of God. And mother told me, she said, boy, you don't need to be dating all those girls. Matter of fact, you don't need to be dating any of them. You need to be centered in Christ. And you need to be celibate, and you need to just be by yourself, and you need to just focus on God. I said, Mom, I ain't going to do that. I just told my mother straight up front, I've always been pretty bold and straight, and I was like that back then. I wasn't going to lie to my mama until I'm just, I said, Mom, I'm just not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that. I am not at that level. I am not going to do that. I like me some women. I am not going to do that. I just told my mother up front. And my mother then told me this. I'm just putting it just like it is. Some folk don't like to tell it just like this. And I understand why they won't, because there's some stuff you just don't know how to tell. But I'm just telling you just like it is, because this is where that wisdom came from. My mother said, son, if you are not going to do right, if you are not going to change your ways, if you're not going to do that, I said, no, I'm not going to do that. She said, if you are not going to do that, then at least you need to do this. She said, don't fool with any woman who you do not want to be the mother of your child. And that thing impacted me. Because when I started looking at a woman and I would hear my mother's voice, "Don't fool with any woman who you do not want to be the mother of your child." It changes the way you view that woman. And you don't look at the night. You start looking at a minimum of 18 years of child support. You understand what I mean? That's 18 feet on this line. Then you start looking at a minimum of probably 40 to 50 years of baby mama drama. So when you start looking at a timeline and you look at the end from the beginning, it changes your choices. It changes your actions. And although it took me a long time for me to change worldly ways, from that point I took mama's advice. And when I took mama's advice, it wasn't the beauty of the woman. It wasn't her shapeliness. I start looking at, would I mind this woman being the mother of my child? And when you start filtering your dating with that filter, it changes some stuff. And it got to a point where most women, to be honest about, so, man, why you won't look at that fine? Is somebody, this woman, I do not want to be the mother of my child. That's the piece of advice my mother gave me. But that thing makes sense. And I can see beyond this just one little night of pleasure. I can see this long thing on my lifeline. And that thing will affect me for decades to come if I pick the wrong one. So I'm going to follow mama's advice with that. So young people, I even tell you right now, like mama, first of all, you need to stay celibate. You need to stay centered on Christ. But if you're not going to do that, and some folk just not going to do that. See, I've been there, so I understand it. Some folk just not going to do that. So if you're not going to do that, you need to have an extremely good filter. So just in case something happened, you can at least live with the consequences with a minimum of damage. So children, it's one of the first things in your romantic relationship and your relationship that you need to look at. When you look at a woman or women, when you look at a man, you need to ask yourself, what kind of daddy will this man make, or what kind of mother will this woman make for my children? And if you can't say, no, I don't know about that. And see, there's going to be some keys. There'll be some keys that'll unlock that thing right off the bat. First of all, if they got children they're not taking care of already, first of all, you can rest assured if they got children they're not taking care of already, they're not going to take care of yours. So that's the first one. And you wonder sometimes, how does a man end up with a whole string of women with all these babies? Because they don't ask that question. They simply look at how good he looks, how smooth he talks. And they look at a dime's length on this tape of life and end up with a whole lifetime of problems because they could not see past a dime's width. So when you look at and just think about the end, where am I going to end up with this woman? Where am I going to end up with this man? If you think about the end from the beginning, it'll change your world. And see, if you want to know where you're going to end up with, look at which direction they're going in. That'll tell you just as clear as a bell. Look at which direction they're going. All you got to do is look at where they've been and which direction they're going in, and it will give you a pretty good idea where you're going to end up if you get on the train with them. Children, the end from the beginning. So the first thing you need to do is you need to decide on the other 23. The other 23, you know, the human body has 46 pairs of chromosomes, 23 from each parent. You're going to provide 23. You need to decide whenever you're looking at somebody and filtering through who's going to provide that other 23 sets of chromosomes. And that's going to make a big difference. I'm talking from experience. This thing changes. It changes your selection. And you won't be ruled by hormones, what people say. This thing changes your selection. Will this person make a good parent for my children? And if that answer is no, if you don't want your lifeline with a whole lot of drama and mess in it, you need to make the choice that's right. The other 23. H. Jackson Brown's poster that I have actually hanging up in the foyer of the office of our business It's called 21 Suggestions for Success. And the number one suggestion that H. Jackson Brown has on that poster, he says this: marry the right person. This one decision will determine 90% of your happiness or misery. And you need to ask that simple question: what kind of parent would they make for my children? Carla and John were dating, and John was a good fella. Came from a good family, and Carla would watch him, and Carla would go over with John to the parents' house, and they noticed that John's daddy was just really, really nice and good to his mama. I mean, John's daddy would prepare dinner for the mama. John's daddy would just keep the house spotlessly clean, and John's daddy would work all day long, bring all his money home, and he just had John's mama in good shape. He would bring John's mama coffee in bed every morning. So Carla saw all that and said, "Woo, that's a good man." So they got married. And as they were leaving the reception, back in the limousine, Carla turned to John with this love in her eyes and says, "John, I really have always admired the way your father treated your mother. And I'm just glad to know that runs in the family." John said, "Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, yes. That runs in the family." He said, "But I want you to know I take after my mother." So you need to know before you get down that aisle, before you get pregnant, you need to know who do they take after. Because if they take after the wrong person, you're going to have continual problems for the rest of your days with that. So this is why you look at things in the end from the beginning. First, you need to choose the other 23. Number two, you need to set the example. When you have children, I have just seen over and over and over, they are going to be what you are. They're going to be what they see, not what you tell them. They're going to be what you are. And I have seen it with my own kids. I've told you several of the stories. When did my kids see me doing this? Kids know stuff. You can't hide that stuff from children. They know stuff. They can feel it. That stuff goes in the atmosphere. A man's marriage had gone through some real tumultuous times. And one night, he just got fed up. Y'all ever been fed up? He just got fed up. And he pounded on the table and he stomped on the floor. And he told his wife, he said, "I hate you. I hate you. I'm not going to take it anymore. I've had enough. I won't go on. I won't let it happen. No, no, no." He got that thing off his chest. He was just mad. He was just mad. Several months later, he woke up in the middle of the night, and he heard some strange sounds coming from the room where his 2-year-old son slept. So he quietly crept down the hall and stood for a moment outside of his son's door to see what was that coming from the inside of his son's room. And then shivers ran down his spine and flesh, and he couldn't hardly breathe as he listened. And in a soft voice, the 2-year-old son was repeating, "I hate you. I won't take it anymore. I've had enough. No, 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 I won't let it happen." Don't think that children don't know. And don't think they don't sense and know what's going on. They will follow your example. One of the last messages my 11-year-old son George taught here, he gave a message of how he was watching his father shoo a bug out the door. And when he told me that, I said, "When did you see me do that?" He said, "Daddy, I was behind the door watching you the whole time." And you don't know when your children are watching you and when they're not. So if you want your children to be something, you have to be what you want them to be yourself. Number three, Proverbs 13:22. We've heard this verse over and over. "A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just." We oftentimes focus on the last half of that verse and not on the first half. A good man leaveth an inheritance for his children's children. So if you want to know what characterizes from the biblical perspective one of the characteristics of a good man, I went to my grandparents' grave on my mother's side about a couple of days ago. For some reason, I was going down the expressway and I passed by the town. I pulled off and I went and I found the grave site to my grandparents. And as I stood there and as I stood between the grave of my grandmother who died at 97 and my grandfather who died at 74, and I stood there, I just looked at my grandfather's grave. And he's been gone now for over 20-something years, probably 30 years. He's been gone a long time. But I thought about this. My grandparents put their two daughters through college. When they graduated from college, they had no debt. Back in that day, then, to this day, my granddaddy's grandchildren get money from the two houses that they own. To this day, they get money every month. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, which means a good man leaves an inheritance for his grandchildren. And some of y'all have said, well, Pastor, yeah, your grandpa, no, they weren't well-to-do. Let me tell you about my granddaddy and my grandmama. My granddaddy worked in a cotton mill. When I would go and spend the summers with him and my granddaddy would come home, he had these big dark arms with hair on. When he would come home, his arms would be covered with this white lint from the cotton mill. My grandmother worked as a cook in an elementary school. So these are not high-paying jobs. So how in the world did two country folk with virtually no education, minimum wage jobs, how in the world did they put two children through college, leave them two houses paid for, that's still giving the grandchildren money today? How in the world did they do that? Because a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So don't tell me you can't do it because you ain't making enough money. Because if my granddaddy could do it back in that day, Mama, did you all get any grants or scholarships? No, they got no grants. There was no Hope Scholarship at that day. Your only hope was that you could come up with the money to go to school. There was no Hope Scholarship. So they made it because a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And this is a thing that when you look at it, when you make these decisions, look at this lifeline of life and don't make decisions based on tonight or next week or even next month. We learn as we grow in wisdom to make decisions based on the long term. And we think of the end from the beginning. And even when my grandmama, my mother's older sister was married and my grandmama told my mother, said, look, you got to go get you a husband. She said, you got to get out of this little town because there's no men here for you. You got to go get you a husband. She said, you need to go up to Atlanta University and you need to enroll. You need to go where the men are. Now, this was my grandmother way down in the country, but grandmama had a lot of wisdom. She had virtually no education, but she had a lot of wisdom. See, education and wisdom are not the same thing. She didn't have any education, didn't have much money, but she had a whole lot of wisdom. She said, you need to go to Atlanta University and you need to go and get you a husband. My mother went and enrolled in Atlanta University. While she was in the line at Atlanta University, my daddy was about three folk behind her because he was going to enroll at Atlanta University to get him a wife. And he told me the story over and over. He said, son, I was not going for education because I majored in a fresh air course. I was registered for audiovisual aids. That's like running the projector. So he wasn't even studying education. He said, I went where I could get me a wife because I knew the quality of woman I was looking for, that's where she was going to be. And my grandmama had sense enough to know the quality of man you're looking for, that's where he's going to be. So they were both there, one by wisdom, the other by following what their mama told them to do. And that's why it's not just the inheritance of material things. A good man puts wisdom in his children so they make right decisions. And my mother told me that when my daddy, he reached over and looked and peered on her paper, wrote down all her stuff, and then asked her, what might be your name? He already knew it. And when my mother took my daddy down to the country, my father was 40 years older than my mother. My daddy was 40, my mother was 20. But when my daddy took my mother, they went to my grandmother's house. And my mother's mother peered over her glasses and looked my daddy over. When my father left, my mother said that my grandmother pulled her to the side and she said, Robbie, you get that man because that man going to be something. Parents can see the end from the beginning. Sometimes the children will only see this week. They'll only see a few months. But a parent, like a heavenly daddy, can see the end from the beginning. In the end, the blood of Jesus covers us. But if we make right decisions, We don't have to plead the blood so much trying to get out of the messes, because we only thought a dime's worth and did not look over the entire span of life. God wants his children prosperous, joyous, healthy, and on the way to eternity. And I believe that with all of my heart. And we'll cover each one of these areas and teach you how to look at the end from the beginning, so you won't have to go through a whole lot of mess in the middle. And sometimes the mess is to teach us, but people, I'd rather learn by somebody else's errors, not having to go through the mess myself. I just would. God has a plan for us, people. He has a purpose and he has a path. He knows the end from the beginning. I knew you before you entered your mother's womb. He knows the before, the middle, and the end. And he wants to bless us. I have no question about that. But often he'll have to take us to where we can look further than tomorrow or tonight, so that he can order our lives to where it should be. You can go to brothersoftheword.com and listen to the entire series, The Chef in the End. If you want to, go to iwanttogive.com. That's iwanttogive.com. And we thank you for joining us today at Brothers of the Word, because, brother, you need the Word.
You are listening to brothersoftheword.com. This was part one of the series titled The Chef in the End by Nathaniel Bronner. This message is number 5727, that's 5727. To listen to over 1,000 free messages, or to send this message number 5727 to a friend, go to brothersoftheword.com.
If this message has been a blessing to you, and you would like to help support this ministry, go to iwanttogive.com. That's iwanttogive.com.
Listen to brothersoftheword.com often, because, brother, you need the Word.
From Brothers of the Word.